drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Memphis musician Van Duren had it all going his way. He had made a debut album, Are You Serious?, that had some people comparing him to Paul McCartney. But instead of being the next big thing, he faded into obscurity. Fast forward 40 years, two Australians, Wade Jackson and Greg Carey, came across Duren's lost album, fell in love with the music and set out to discover what went wrong. Van Duren and Wade Jackson are both my guests in the drawing room. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Van, I know that you watched the Ed Sullivan Show where the Beatles were on in 1964. Tell me about that experience. How formative was that for you?
Very much. It informed my whole being. At the age of 10, I was really moved and excited about it, and it looked like a great job to me.
So what was your journey into music?
Well, it really started there, and by the time I was 12 or 13, I was leading bands in Memphis and, you know, following my own path, playing a lot of 60s music and writing some bad songs at a tender age. And one band led to another, and it really it ended up being my whole life.
And you were managed by the Rolling Stones producer in the 1970s. I know you released two albums, one which was re-released in 1999. You continued to make music. What actually happened during that period?
Well, it's a long story, but I made an initial album in the Northeast United States. That's where my opportunity was. I lived in New York City at the time, and that album was released, and it did fairly well. It was an independent label. We toured all over the Northeast United States with a live band playing that music, and then went in to do record number two in late part of 1978, recorded the second album called Idiot Optimism. And then one thing led to another. We had a falling out with the studio and the label, and I left the label so after the album was finished, so it didn't get released for another 20 years.
What was that period like for you, having that fallout? What kind of an impact did it have, not only on your musical career, but your own sense of self?
Well, you know, it was devastating and you know, emotionally, personally, but I was still, you know, always moving forward with new music and new bands and new albums, new records. So it's kind of a double-sided coin, if you follow me. Yeah.
So Wade, I'm going to bring you in here because you're key to what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. What happened in 2016? How did you discover Van Duren?
I'd released an album in 2015. And the co-producer, Liam Judson and myself, we wanted it to sound exactly like it came out of Ardent Studios in Memphis. This is well before I knew about Van. We were obsessed with a band called Big Star. A guy from the 2 hours north of London with 38 followers on Twitter tweets that he loves my record, and he, you know, that for fans of Big Star and Memphis-based music, they'll feel right at home there. I naturally started following him, and then it was a couple of weeks later he posted a picture of Van's album, Are You Serious?, and wrote, I can't believe nobody's ever heard of this guy. So it was all kind of right time, right place, and I hardly ever used Twitter, so I checked that, and I found a song later on. We found out it was illegally up on YouTube, and yeah, I was hook, line, and sinker.
Why did it have such a profound impact on you?
I think that particular song was... It had everything I love in music. The production was incredible. It sounded timeless. And lyrically, I was going through a divorce at that time, or a separation. And everything that sort of Van was singing about, it kind of felt really personal to me. It felt like he was almost singing to me. It weirdly gave me some sort of sense of security, like knowing that, you know, I had no idea what he was going through when he wrote it. But I felt like, you know, someone understands what I'm going through here.
And you teamed up with Greg Carey. Tell me about that relationship. How did you rope him in?
Well, Greg and I had been friends for a long time, and we'd never actually done a project together. And his business partner had left the music industry to get a real job. And Greg the next day played indoor soccer and had broken his leg. So he, you know, we were a couple, couple of fellas are a little bit down on our luck and really eager to show people this record just to make sure I wasn't going crazy. And you know, I opened a bottle of wine and poured us a glass each, and he started telling me about his woes, and I strategically put it on in the background, and within 15 seconds he stopped the conversation and said, "Who's this?" And that was it. He was done, and he was the one after the second bottle of wine that said, "Let's do a documentary." And I'm a drunken promise king, so I said, "Of course, yeah, let's do it." And you know, Greg followed up with all the due diligence to the a couple of weeks later and said, "No, I can't stop listening to this record. Let's do it."
And I'm going to bring you back in, Van. When they approached you, what did you make of it?
Well, I was skeptical. You know, when someone approaches you through social media, you have to be careful. It took them a while to convince me that they were serious and respectable, honest. I did a lot of research on these two guys. So within a few weeks, we were having conversations and they were making plans. And, you know, one thing led to another. It's really been a blessing in my life.
Wade, I know that you've picked a song for us to hear. What have you chosen?
I've chosen the track Grow Yourself Up, which was actually the first song I heard of Van Duren's. I chose this track because after all this time, I still think it's my favourite. After listening to Van's songs right throughout the 3 years it took to make the film, there's some desperation in the vocal delivery that Van delivers, which it's a lost art now. He's really going for it, and he's singing and really getting his message across. And just the production, you know, these guys made these records in their early 20s. It's just mind blowing to think that. They could, you know, hit this and put it out, and it'd be sound so amazing. But the other thing is too, there's something about this track how the vocal comes straight in after a little drum roll, and you know, he's getting straight to the point. I love it.
Let's hear it. This is "Grow Yourself Up" by Van Duren, and he's my guest in the drawing room.
Don't give me lame excuses. Oh,
So, Wade, let's talk about the actual filmmaking process. How did you, you said 3 years, it sounds like a labour of love. Tell me about how you put this together.
Well, Greg and I, once we decided to do it, we told a few people, and I could see that they were thinking this is either not going to happen or it's going to be like a dodgy handycam style video. And we had no expectations at that stage, but we got together with some friends that run a production company in Sydney, and they were so positive. They said, "Yeah, you can do it. Why can't you do it? You know, technology now favors the brave." And they gave us a crash course on using cameras and some interview techniques, and they kind of reassured us that, you know, don't worry about, you know, your framing. Like it's about the story. If the story's great, people aren't looking for, you know, little imperfections. And that really gave us the confidence to actually do this and do it professionally. And, you know, we had some golden rules that we stuck by during the whole process. And, next thing you know, Greg and I are on a flight to the US and with our questions and release forms and cameras and lighting and microphones. And so we turn up and we actually filmed ourselves setting up the first one, so that was like our checklist, so we could watch the film and make sure we had everything in the right spot. So, you know, 26 interviews later, we had to come home, and that's when someone actually gave me a bit of a grounding chat by saying this could take anywhere between 2 and 6 years to finish because we self-financed, and at that stage I nearly died.
What was it like when you guys met face to face, Van Duren? Do you remember that moment?
I do. We were well prepared for that because we knew it was coming, and it was great to meet them in person. They're genuine guys, and they're very talented guys, and very earnest and sincere. And this was something that was new in my life, in my career. So I welcomed them with open arms, and so did the whole music community in Memphis.
The magic of the community really came out when we had our world premiere at the Indie Memphis Film Festival last November. We had a screening with a cinema of 370 people, and we thought there's no way they're going to get close to filling that. And it was sold out. Driving to that cinema knowing it was sold out, you know, I was so nervous, and I just kept thinking, how does Van feel? Like, finally his hometown's, you know, really giving him some long overdue support. And when we turned up, it was just amazing. And at the end of the film, it was a 5-minute standing ovation, which is something that I'll never forget as long as I live. It was just such a beautiful moment. And then to head outside the cinema and have, you know, at least 300 people give you a hug and say, you know, it's amazing. Some people had never even heard of Van before they came to the screening, and that was just a real magic moment.
What was that like for you, Van? Because really, this documentary has in many ways introduced your work to a whole new audience.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like any relatively obscure artist. That's the way it goes sometimes. But even in my hometown, when that show sold out, and we sold out two more showings within 2 weeks, I thought, wait a minute, am I in Memphis or are we somewhere else in a parallel universe? So it was a little sarcastic skepticism there, but people have been really kind and really sweet, and they have reacted to the film not only there but everywhere we've been. I think everybody's really surprised at how good it is.
And Van, what's it like to know that you've had such an impact on people's lives with your music? As you say, you know, you use the word obscure yourself, yet clearly, at least when Wade listened to your music, it was life-changing for him.
Yes, it was. I guess I'm kind of peripherally aware of that. It was never my goal to make that, you know, the foremost thing in my mind, my driving force. It's all about creating the music and recording it and playing it live. And then whatever happens as a result of that is a beautiful thing. But in my personal experience, you can't overthink whether this is popular or not, if somebody likes it or doesn't like it. You just have to follow your muse.
Well, let's hear the song you've chosen for us. What have you chosen for us to listen to tonight?
Some friends of mine were in a group called Big Star, in Memphis in the early 1970s. And this song is from their first album. It was written by Alex Chilton and Chris Bell, recorded at Arden Studios in 1971, and it's called Give Me Another Chance.
I want to thank you both for coming in. It's been a really good conversation.
Thanks, Patricia.
Thank you, Patricia.
That was Van Duren and Wade Jackson. Now, let's have a listen to the track that Van has picked for us. This is Give Me Another Chance by Big Star.
You feel inside, 'cause I got mad and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Things I said.
That's Give Me Another Chance by Big Star, the song chosen for us tonight by Van Duren, who was one of my guests alongside Wade Jackson. And they've both been part of this film, Waiting, the Van Duren story.